I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So when was the last time you said yes to God? Maybe you gave Him a small yes this morning when you dared to trust Him instead of worrying. Or maybe you gave Him a big yes recently when you dared to step away from maybe a secure job because He's leading you into a new promised land. Or maybe, if you're honest, it's been a long time since you dared to pray a scary prayer like this. Lord, whatever you say, wherever you lead, I'm there. I give you my wholehearted yes. You know what? He's a good Father and you can trust Him. And our yes says so much to Him. Well, I've been saying this for a long time and I'll just say it again. If we find it easier to trust God with our eternity than we do with our everyday lives, then maybe, just maybe, we have too low of a view of eternity. Because you know what? Our eternal life with God is going to be a sensory explosion. We are going to see colors. We are going to taste things. We are going to hear music that blows us away. Anything good in this life, it's a glimpse of the goodness that is to come. Our life with God will be amazing. We'll have these face-to-face encounters with Jesus. We're going to have rich fellowship with each other, minus the drama, joyful moments of revelation when we realize God's intimate involvement in our lives. I'd say the more that we ponder our eternity with God, the easier it'll be to give Him our yes in the everydayness of our lives. The easier it'll be to trust Him with our everyday moments. Well, my guest today writes this: for too long, you've been paralyzed by fear of the future. You feel God calling. You want to go forward with His plans, yet fear has stopped you from taking the leap. Well, no more. Instead of letting fear stop you short, let faith call you forward with newfound confidence and holy boldness. Put your yes on the table and watch God do more in your life than you ever could have imagined. Jennifer Hand joins me today to talk about her new book, My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. We're going to get her on in a moment. But by the way, I've got 6 copies of this book, My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. If you want in on the drawing and you want some help with just daring to take some bold steps of faith with Jesus, just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So quick announcement, right now this summer on Faith Radio, we're doing Faith Radio's greatest, biggest book giveaway ever. We received so many books from publishers and ministry partners that some of our team got together and put them in stacks by genre. And this week, the genre we're giving away is all about spiritual growth. So if you want a book bundle, you can hop on our website, do it after the show because I want you fully present for the conversation today, but go to myfaithradio.com and enter to win. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jennifer Hand is Executive Director of Coming Alive Ministries, founded the ministry in 2012 and loves the honor of traveling nationally and internationally, inviting people to come alive in Christ through conferences, retreats, written resources, and counseling. She has had the joy of serving in over 30 countries with a master's degree in trauma counseling. God has opened a unique door for her to respond after natural disasters around the world, providing trauma counseling and the hope of Jesus on the holy ground of suffering. Jennifer, welcome to the show. Good to have you today.
Oh, what a joy to be with you, Suzy. I'm so honored to be among you, and your listeners are friends that I wish I was having coffee with. But since we're not, we're just going to enjoy talking about the goodness of God together in the comfort of wherever you're listening.
Amen. Why, you know, I didn't say this at the open, but you and I did a speaking event together years ago, and I've done a ton of these, as you have as well. But every once in a while, you meet someone who just sticks with you, and you were that person. I was so struck by your humility, your joy, your winsome, just awe and wonder of God. And I thought, okay, she is a precious gift to the body of Christ. So it's so fun to celebrate your book today. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I remember that well, and just feeling so mentored by you, and you were so kind to me and just made me feel like I belonged there. And you know how our insecurities can tell us 1,000 different ways we don't belong. And the Lord welcomes us at the table, and you welcomed me at that table. Wow. And so it was so fun and so fun to be here with you today.
Oh, that's so awesome. Don't you just love her already, you guys? I'm telling you. All right. Well, you know, this week we love to start every show making it personal. Just in your time with the Lord, what's He been telling you these days?
I just love my morning times, in particular with the Lord and His Word. And I will say, I've been in the Psalms with a friend. We text each other scripture every day and have been for years. And I've read the Psalms since I was 8 years old and became a believer. But I just recently left spending the month of June in Ukraine in the middle of a war. God called me in my yes to step in and to go there. And nothing can make scripture come alive in a way as when you're in the middle of a war, reading things like Psalm 91, where the Lord says, you can find refuge under the shadow of my wings. And Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 23, I'm your shepherd. And so I've just been diving into some of those familiar passages, asking God to make them come alive in new ways. And I love that about His Word, is it's alive and it is constantly speaking. And so for me, I just really leaned in and had just a new sense of the protection and the power of God in a way that, as I've come home, is still ringing in my heart.
You know, you, when I met you last time, I just thought you don't seem to have much fear, because even back then you were traveling. I mean, you thought you'd be a career missionary. But I can't imagine, when did you sense the call to go to Ukraine right in the middle of a war zone?
Well, I had this book that God stirred in my heart to write, My Yes Is on the Table, which to me has meant a daily surrender. Here's my yes, Lord, wherever, whenever, however. And actually, during the release of that book was when the war started in Ukraine. And I just kept sensing, I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready to go. And so I released the book then for a month, talked about the book, and then God said, now go live the book. Go move from fear into faith steps. And I like to think that I, you know, have faith without fear, but the truth is I was afraid the whole time. But God is so good to show me that faith does not mean the absence of fear, but faith means, where do I run with that fear? And so I sensed, you need to go, Jen, go remind those people that God sees them, that He loves them, He knows them, He has not forgotten them. And that means showing up in the middle of a war. And I have to say, it was the adventure of a lifetime.
So do you know someone? I mean, how did you decide? Like, do you call someone? I'm showing up. I mean, what did that look like? And well, give me a little inside look of what it was like.
I have partnered with many different organizations over the years that know I have this trauma counseling background and show up after natural disasters. People say I follow them or they follow me. I'm not sure which, but I had heard of an organization, Crisis Response International. And so I knew they were in Ukraine, and the timing just worked out for me to go join them. And 12 of us went and spent just an amazing time on that ground. I call it the holy ground of suffering, just partnering with what God was doing there.
And can you give us a glimpse of what that was like? What did it feel like when you were there? Give me an idea of some of your experiences.
Well, I can say I have never experienced active war. And within 2 days of getting there, we were awakened to Russian missiles falling about a mile from us. So it was an actual active war field, but also that represents, I believe, what's going on spiritually. But here is what I know, is God's light is always penetrating the darkness. And what I saw was the church in Ukraine rising up and doing the work, going to the front lines, feeding the hungry, bandaging the literal wounded and those with emotional wounds. And so every day it was a little different. I ended up just driving around Ukraine, which was crazy, in Kyiv, and giving out supplies to those in desperate need of just basic food, and then a hug and a prayer and a holding their hearts as they walk through this hard.
My goodness. And how long were you there?
I was there about 17 days total.
Wow. Well, you know, my first question after you just said the personal question about what God's doing is, give us some examples of some of the biggest yeses you've ever given to God. I would guess that was one of them. I mean, but what are some others that really stand out to you?
I think for me, just saying yes to, I'm single and He has called me to live a life of faith since 2012 of support-based salary as a missionary for Him. And I never know where He's going to take me. And so some days that yes is just trusting when the bank account looks bleak. And then some days that yes takes me to Ukraine. And some days that yes is love your upstairs neighbor who, in the middle of your live interviews, knocks on the door, won't stop knocking until you give her a plunger. And so, you know, it just depends on the day. And that's what I love about our yes to God. It's a daily surrender. And it is not just always these big steps of faith. It's the daily, Lord, make my faith alive and active. And he has to remind me that when it's to my neighbor or when it's to another nation. Both of these are yeses.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to know what you've learned about yourself and what you've learned about God through some of these big yeses. And friend listening today, I have a question for you as well. What's the most recent yes that you've given to God that was really intentional on your part? Like, I could have chosen worry, but I chose faith instead. I could have chose selfishness, but God invited me to be selfless instead. I'm not asking you to toot your horn, but I would love to just know one of those conscious moments where you said, I'm choosing you, Jesus. I'm choosing to give you my yes. Text me 877-933-2484. And I've got 6 copies of Jen's book, My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. She's got some pretty wild stories in this book as well. You can text the word book in a separate text, the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. So do you listen to Suzy Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee. In Jesus' name, I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. So here's my question to you. And I always so appreciate when you take the time to answer. Because you know what? When we're engaging together and you're responding to some of these questions, it helps me know you're there. You're listening. And it helps me to understand what you're walking through. Since we're talking today about putting our yes on the table, I just want to know. Maybe you're even facing a crossroad even now. You haven't made the decision yet, but you have a decision to make. But the question I asked before the break is, in what way have you chosen to give your yes to God? Chosen maybe to trust him when you could worry, or chosen to go his way when your own flesh would want you to go another way? Well, this dear listener says, I'm choosing to trust the goodness of God and his faithfulness with the health and the protection of my kids. You know, that is a concrete choice. That is a faith-filled choice. It sometimes just feels so much easier to worry. This dear listener says, I'm choosing forgiveness, intentional, purposeful, to unleash anything that keeps me from fully experiencing the heart of God. See, these are all activated choices. Isn't that amazing? This one says, saying yes to having my 3-year-old great-nephew live with us and show him how much he's loved, even though I don't feel qualified because I'm older, but we are the ones being blessed with having him with us. See, that's amazing. She put her yes on the table by saying, all right, my 3-year-old great nephew's coming to live with us. That's the thing. It's always an adventure. What about you? Is there a yes you've recently given to God? Or maybe you're facing a choice now. Text me 877-933-2484. Jen Hand is my guest today. Her book is My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. Got 6 copies to give away. You can text the word book if you need a little fire in your faith. 877-933-2484. And Jennifer, you've traveled all over the world. I mean, been all over the world to serve God in some very desperate, war-torn areas. I would love to know, what have you learned about yourself and what have you learned about God by giving him your yes?
I think that it is the adventure of a lifetime is what I've learned is throughout scripture. When they said yes to God, those were not just characters. Those are real people like you and I who are saying yes to a very real God. And so every time I get to say yes, even when I want to say no, I mean, I don't want to come across as this saint who's just got her yes and is ready. I struggle with fear. I mean, releasing this book felt a little bit like walking into a room naked. Not that I've done that, but it felt like, okay, Lord, this is my yes to you. But when I answer the question, I want to say yes to God, but I'm afraid of, some may think, well, she travels the world with, you know, without a roadmap by herself to a war-torn country. Is she afraid of anything? Well, yes, rejection. So I want to say yes to God, but what if people reject me? What if I fail in this? Yes, these are things I could insert into that question. And so what I've learned is God meets me right at those fears, and he can show me, only he can help me move where fear is not stopping me, but faith is propelling me. And I have to be like Joshua in Joshua 1:9, where God said to him, be strong and courageous. And this is the key. I am with you. And that's what I have to remember. He is with me on this crazy adventure of yes. And so I would do this again, day in and day out, because he is faithful, he is good, and his promises are true, and he keeps his promises. And one of the things he promises is that he has more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. And I want to be part of that.
Amen. Well, I thought of the four common fears that I think that can keep us from giving God our yes. And I'd love to know if you want to add any more to these, but you touched on one. But these are the four, and I'm going to have you speak to them each one by one. One is he'll ask me to do something I hate. Two is he'll ask me to give up something I love. Three is I'll face rejection. Four is I'll fail. Are there any more that you would add to that list before we walk them through?
I love this. I think another one is, will God provide for my yes? That can be a big one. Will he provide for my yes? And then what will other people think of my yes to God?
Okay.
Yeah, but the list can go on and on. So we'll just stop there. Yeah, because there's so many.
That's perfect. All right. So the first one, I'm afraid to give him my yes because he'll ask me to do something I hate. What do you say?
Oh, that's so good. I think, first of all, that's such a raw answer. And so true is that we all really can struggle with that. And here's what I love, though, is that we have a good, good father. And when he asks for our obedience, he strengthens us for that obedience. And as I studied the Israelites going into the promised land, they're, I'm sure, wandering through the wilderness with a bunch of family and friends. You know, I'm sure there were times that they did not enjoy that. But the promise was that God was guiding them and that he was with them. And that's what I have to remind myself too. When God calls me to the uncomfortable, because he does, so that I will run to him for my comfort, that he will change my heart if he calls me to something. Like, for example, leading a nonprofit comes with a lot of administrative tasks. I do not enjoy that. And yet somehow I'm like, God, help me do this thing. Even the things that I love require sometimes things that I hate. And so he will empower you for what he has called you to walk through.
And he makes it worth it. You know, I think sometimes we get a picture in our head that my life is good and comfortable because I've made it so, not because God's good. And if I give him my yes, he's going to make it super uncomfortable in a way that I hate. Now, comfort is an idol at times, you know, I mean, we can sacrifice calling on the altar of comfort, but I think if we could understand, like, your calling is going to be different than my calling. And if you come alive, you know, in the jungle and someone else is like, that terrifies me. Well, it's quite possible God may call you to do something that a little bit more aligns with how he made you. Not to say he keeps us comfortable, but you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, a part of our calling really does fit the way that he's made us. Maybe speak to that.
I love this because we cannot compare our yeses. And I have an identical twin sister, so I can really speak to this, who loves Jesus with her whole heart. And we have the same genetics. And yet her yes has looked completely different than mine. She does not like to get on a plane. she doesn't like to travel places alone. She's been married 16 years. I've been single. I'm 40 now, all 40 years of my life. She has four children that she's keeping alive and fed and teaching them to love Jesus. And her yes looks very different, but yes, God calls her to the uncomfortable. She and her husband started a church, have planted a church, being a mom and just really pouring into those kids. But that God, which God has called her to, looks very in line with also the desires and dreams he has for her. She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and she is, and she is. I call her a camp counselor for her kids all day long, just always like pouring into them from 13 down to 3. And so her yes looks so different than my yes. But the truth is, she's saying yes to a God who fearfully and wonderfully made her for her yes. Mm-hmm. And we can't compare our yeses.
Right. Right. That's such a good example. Your twins, similar genetics, and yet her passions and your passions are different and you're walking them out differently. And that's what I'm trying to say is, you know, everybody has the downside or the tough side to their calling, but that goes to the territory. And to me, there's grace to deal with that because the thrust of your calling, you are in the center of God's yes and his will. And, you know, I think it's such a delight and honor that he wants us to partner with him. He won't force his will, but if we're willing to give him our yes, he'll show up in ways that we'll never experience them otherwise, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think it's so much fun to see how when we surrender, God meets us right in that obedience. And he's like, I'm going to be faithful. That's the key. He is faithful. He is true. And the more we study his character and know him and learn about him and who he is, then the more when we follow him, we see him show up in those hard places.
Mm-hmm. You know, the next one is, you know, he'll ask me to give up something I love. And about 20 years ago, my hubby battled cancer. And I remember someone sent us this story of this little girl who had seen this little pair of pearls or a set of pearls in the toy store window. She saved up all her allowance and kept walking by the store with her dad and just couldn't wait to get it. She finally gets them. And she's holding him to her chest as she's curled up in bed. And her dad sits down and says, honey, you got your pearls today. Yeah. And he said, can I see him? And she pulls him out and he goes, can I have them? And she looks at him and she's like, I just got them. And he's like, that's okay. And he kisses her on the head. And each night he'd say, you got those pearls with you again. Can I see them? Can I have them? Each night she paused a little longer. And finally she just loved her dad so much. She goes, here. You know, she couldn't stand it anymore. And he pulled out a real set of pearls and said, good night, honey. And he gave them to her. And I thought that's such a beautiful picture because so often we cling to things that we think, you know, God does not care about my heart and he does not care about my life. And the thing is that nothing could be further from the truth. And I just think if he's asking for us to surrender something we love, the idea of something we love, and we lay it down for a bit, you know, it's so often because he wants to resurrect a bigger calling and dream. How about you for, you know, have you sensed that at times where you feel like I would want this in the natural, but he's saying, trust me with that so that I can give him the bigger yes and see him as a bigger God that he is.
Well, when you open my book, My Yes Is on the Table, you find me sitting, I call it a doll-sized bed in Nepal because they got the measurements wrong. So it was a beautiful bed, but it was way too short for me. And I'm in that bed and I'm telling God, I love it here. I left everything to come here. Most people's yes would not lead them to a place like this, but I love it. And what if you call me to leave here? And my mind just going crazy with what if I want my yes to be the safe and the same. And what if you say, let go of this? And I actually knew as I was pouring out my heart, I thought I would live and die in Nepal and be a missionary there forever, that they were going to name a missionary offering after me. And I loved that life. It made me come alive so much, but I knew the moment when God was calling me to surrender that and come home. And he didn't tell me what for yet. And I can say that I thought, how could you take away what feels so good? This has to be in the center of your will. But what I didn't know at the time was that God was releasing me to what was best. And he was going to far surpass every dream I could have imagined and allow me to live fully alive in the calling he had for me, where it wasn't just one people and one place, but that he's allowed me to give me the world. And so I just want to encourage the one who's just like, I would like my yes to be the safe and the same, that when we release that, God has so much of his glory he wants to write in our stories. And he writes a much better story.
Somebody got to give me an amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to address, what if I fail? What if I face rejection? And here's the thing is when you step out and give God your yes, the truth of the matter is you will excite the jealousies of others because so many want to, but don't dare to. And if you dare to, they may poke fun at you. But you know what? Can you survive it? Absolutely. Yes, you can. In fact, we'll never really fulfill the big call of God in our life until that gap widens between how people affect us and how God affects us. Do you dare to give him your yes? We're talking to Jennifer Hand. Her book is My Yes Is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. We'll be back in a minute. You make all things new. You make all things new. Oh God of mercy and love, do what only you can do. You make all things new. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to author and missionary Jennifer Hand. Her book is My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. Jen has traveled all over the world. She's a trauma counselor, and she's this joyful, winsome servant of God and goes into really sometimes scary places, war-torn places, to bring the hope of Jesus there. But she says, even I deal with fear. Even though it feels like her calling calls for fearlessness, she goes afraid at times. And she fears what a lot of us fear at times. And we're talking about what keeps us from giving God our yes. And a couple of things we addressed before is that, well, I'm afraid God will ask me to do something I hate. I'm afraid God will ask me to give up something I loved. Okay, we touched on those. Here's a couple more. I'm afraid I'll face rejection. I'm afraid that I'll fail. And those are common fears. And the thing is, you may get rejected by man. You may. I mean, think about Nehemiah and the opposition he faced all the time. You may even fall down. But is God still God? And is he still good? And are you still loved? Absolutely. It's your faith that is so precious to him. So maybe, Jen, speak to the idea of the fear of rejection and the fear of failure. If someone is at a crossroads going, I'm sensing God's asking me to take a step, I'm terrified that I'm going to get it wrong.
I think that's where just really having to hold to a strong foundation of truth to fight those sneaky lies of the enemy that come in. I was rejected as an author for 10 years. I got no. And I wanted to give up, Suzy, because I don't like rejection once, let alone 10 years. But God had given me this dream, and he just kept saying, wait and keep working. And remember that I'm working behind the scenes in your waiting. So if you're waiting right now on God, just know he is working behind the scenes and not always in the timing or the plans or the place we expect, but he's always working and he's always good. So for me, I have to build a strong foundation of truth and stand on it so that when, like Galatians 1:10 says, am I trying to win the approval of man or God? And remembering, I already have God's approval and I can run to him. And when I am failing, when I sin, when I don't follow through with the yes that he's called me to, I love that Lamentations 3:23 says his mercies are new every morning and I can run to him and receive the gift of his grace and his love. And that is the foundation that keeps me having the chance to battle the lie of fear of rejection with the truth that God is for me. Romans 8 says that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't matter. So what that means is if I get a bad review on the book I wrote, or I fail at a thing that I'm trying. I remember trying to learn Nepalese language and I failed all the time. My first Bible study that I did in the Nepalese language, Suzy, I did a whole Bible study and I wondered why they laughed the whole time. And it was because I was using the word instead of fear, which is what I was supposed to be talking about. I was using the very similar word for diarrhea. So you want to talk about failing, but God was right there in the midst of that. And he's in the midst of our yes steps.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love that I laughed out loud when I read that story in the book. I thought it was so precious because that's what happens is when it becomes an adventure and you're not, up for indictment. When you understand God has called you, he goes before you, he's already decided on you. Those kinds of things just sort of lose their power and you can laugh about them later. And so I pray that as you're hearing this conversation, your faith is being buoyed up. You know, I think we want all of our ducks in a row. We want to make sure everybody's happy with us. But the truth is, when you give God your yes, it is good. There's wisdom in counselors. So I think on one hand, it is wise to seek people who are mentors, who know you. But there will be at times your critics. So speak to the tension of that, Jen. If someone's really facing a pretty big yes right now, and there are some people going, I don't like it. How do you discern whose voice to listen to?
That's so hard at times because we do want to listen to wise counsel. And so that's where I love in James, where it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he can ask God who gives generously. I love that word, lavishly, some say, with he just gives it. And so generously asking God, please give me wisdom on whose voice to listen to. And that's why I think it's so important to already have a good, godly community in place, people that you trust and know their character over time so that you can run to them in that moment when you're at a crossroads because you already know them and you already trust them. And, but The truth is sometimes our yeses will lead us to do things that don't make sense in the natural to the natural mind. And so asking God to show me, who do I listen to? And when do I just have to trust that you are doing something supernatural here? And the only way I know that we can do that and to really know his voice is to dive into his word and seek his voice. Who he is in scripture and then in community and really just praying that God will give you that safe community to run to and to seek to run things by and to trust that he's faithful. And that's what I keep going back to whenever I'm saying yes to him. Like the same God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Genesis and Exodus, and even Leviticus, right? That same God is still working in my life today and in your life today, listener. And he is the one that, as you say yes, will direct you because he cares more about that yes that he's calling you to than even you do because it's his glory throughout your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wisdom's path is peace. So you can even feel a measure of fear. But if you dig down a little deeper and go, but I still have the peace of God. In fact, I think another question is if you have the peace even with fear, and if you were to say no, you have a lack of peace, you feel a check in your spirit, then you should pay attention to that. And I think, as you say, the more you get to know the God of the Bible and get to know the Word, you'll know what his voice sounds like. And that is where the fun starts, because I've said this on the show a lot in the last year, especially. God seems to be repositioning his saints. Everywhere I turn, I'm just seeing these and hearing these stories. You know, a pastor being called out of retirement and assigned to a church, and this person called out of corporate world and sent into ministry, and then this person called out of ministry sent into the corporate world. Are you seeing a lot of that as well?
I am. And I think it is a time where the enemy would like us to shrink back. And these past few years have been full of being told, shrink back, stay where you're safe. But the God of the universe is calling us forth. And I love in Hebrews where it says, do not throw away your confidence, for it has a great reward. And it is so sweet to see, especially after releasing this book, I get to hear stories every day of people saying yes to God. And here's what I can tell you. They're all afraid, but they're doing it afraid. And they're seeing God show up in the midst and be Emmanuel, God with them. And I love that. Over and over and over, I see and hear people either stepping into the new or saying, okay, a lot of times saying yes to God comes with saying no to something else. So they're saying no to whatever they thought and stepping into what they didn't think. And so I love getting to hear these stories and getting to see the surprises of God, but God is not surprised. And that's what I love about, that's who we're saying yes to, a God who's already knows the plans he has for us. And we just get to step into them.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you think about what we'd miss through self-protection. You know, I often say if you want to leave just because you want relief, God may call you to stay. And if you want to stay because of comfort, he may call you to leave. But if you can dare to put that yes on the table, he will lead you in the way you should go. And you don't need all the faith for the whole thing all at once. You just need faith for the next step. Just take the next step. I'm wondering, Jen, what you'd say to that person listening today who feels like a sense of restlessness, a discomfort, like this isn't doing it for me anymore. I mean, I just talked to the young lady the other day and she was feeling this restlessness, but her narrative was feeling kind of negative. And I'm like, what if you lean in? What if the winds of change are blowing? What if God has something new for you? And I just saw her light up, you know, oh, wow. Yeah, that's a way to think about it. But maybe speak to the person listening today who's feeling a restlessness about them.
Well, I think we may not be going to an actual place like the Israelites in Joshua were going to a promised specific land. And although we do have a specific promised land, which is heaven awaiting us, our lands are different. But what promised land living is obedience. And so I would encourage the person who's feeling that restlessness to do an actual action, to write your yes on something as a prayer. Write it on a piece of paper, however crafty you want to get, write it in the sand, do something and place it as an offering and a prayer, that physical act of saying, my yes is here, Lord, I'm putting it before you. Now, what do you want to do? And I believe each one of you will actually know already that next tiny faith step. The Lord will, he will make it clear. He gives us the Holy Spirit who guides us. And I think it is an adventure, and it is sometimes like the GPS will. When I was in Ukraine, the Russians were actually scrambling the GPS. So I'm driving through Kyiv trying to find these people and deliver groceries to them that God was sending me to, but the GPS would be scrambled and send us to somewhere not at all where we're trying to go. And wow. That's where, you know, we really have to lean in to, again, the compass is God's word and the guide is the Holy Spirit, and trust that the enemy may try to scramble our GPS, but God knows exactly where he wants you to go as you're feeling that restlessness. So lean in and trust the goodness of God, even if.
That's so good.
And even
so
now.
Good. Mm. Yeah, I often say he's leading us even when we're unaware. And Steve writes and says, that's me right now. And this is what you write. I thought it was great. You could take a moment even now and pray. Tell God that you've been seeking shelter in maybe the wrong places. Maybe it's in a person. Perhaps it's in a place. Perhaps it's what has felt comfortable in your past. Thank him that he longs to be gracious to you. Then ask him for the strength to make the right choice. Can you think of a time, Jen, where you were at maybe a crossroads? You know, just from the outside looking in, it seems like the big scary prayers kind of come naturally. Like maybe you just live. I don't know. I might be wrong about this, but you have this built in, like you're made for adrenaline or something. I don't know. But can you think about times when you're at a crossroads where you didn't want to say yes? I know you had that one about Nepal, leaving Nepal, but other times where you were like, I don't know. I mean, I know you've been faithful. Pretty sure I'm hearing from you, but I don't know if I want to or can do this.
Yes, September of last year, a year after I had signed my book contract, I was in a horrific car accident where I hydroplaned on the interstate, went across six lanes of traffic, about six times spinning, hit someone head on, and then hit a concrete barrier. And I walked away alive, but with a fear like I've never experienced. And I survived physically, but emotionally, I came home and I never wanted to drive again because I felt like the cause of the injury of someone. And it was so, I was full of such fear. And so what God has called me to and the life God has called me to live, I cannot stay in my one bedroom apartment here in safety. And so for me, I had to embark on a trust in God like I had never experienced to get in the car, something so simple that I had done my whole, you know, since I was 16 years old, and to trust and release fears to God and trauma to God, and to trust that somehow he was going to redeem that part of my story as well and do it afraid. So I remember that first week after making myself drive past the accident site and get in a car that was borrowed and trust that God was going to provide a car to me when I live on a very small faith-based salary with just liability coverage on my car. And I'm just seeing God show up in the middle of those fears and him bring healing, and that I could run to him and now get in a car and continue to trust him has been an incredible journey.
Boy, that's good. Thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about living our life with the end in mind. I think that's really a great way to live, don't you? What do you want to be said of you? What do you want Jesus to say to you? How do you want to live? Because you think of some of the parables of the talents, let's say, burying our talents in fear because we want to live in self-protection. As a person who's battled fear in varying measures my whole life, God has brought me so far. But I remember one day he confronted me and said, you know what, kingdom life and self-protection are not compatible. And that was a big wake-up call for me. So if you have to do it afraid, but trust him every step of the way. So we'll talk about that. And in fact, if you feel like answering, I would love to know, how do you want this to end for you? How do you want your life to wrap up? What do you want to be said of you? What would you love to, if the sky was the limit, what would you like to accomplish or do for Jesus? Man, I would love to hear from you. You can text me 877-933-2484. And we have six copies of Jennifer Hand's book, My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. If you want in on the drawing, that needs to come in a separate text. Just send the word book to that same number, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in miracles. Wherever I go. I
Whether you believe it or not, you are standing in miracles wherever you go. And I just look forward to that day when we see Jesus face to face and we realize, man, he was leading me when I was unaware. He was intervening in ways I couldn't even have imagined. And if I really would have taken him at his word, boy, I would have lived all in, all out in faith, sowed generous seeds. And so I don't want there to be any regrets. That's really one of the purposes of this show, that we could live all in, fully engaged in the purposes of God. And today I'm just asking you to think about the end in mind. What do you want to be said of you when you see Jesus? What do you want to have accomplished for the kingdom? If the sky were the limit and you could do anything for him, what would that be? Will you text me and tell me? 877-933-2484. Leanne says, I'd like to share Jesus faithfully, frequently, and without fear. That's beautiful. And then see the fruit of that. Someone coming to know Jesus. All glory to Jesus if that happens through me. And this dear one says, if the sky were the limit for Jesus, I'd care for struggling mothers and children to provide the love and safety they need until they're on firm ground. That's beautiful. Wow. How about you, Jen? I mean, you've done some pretty significant things for Jesus, but if you were to get to the end of your life and the sky was the limit, what would you do?
I think that is the most amazing question that I want to think about every day, because what I want to know is at the end of my life, I lived one so fully alive in Christ that people want to know the God that's alive in me, because it tells us in scripture that we have the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead alive inside of us. So I want that. And I want it to be, I want to look back and know that my fears did not keep me from anything God had for me. And so I would love, love, love to meet people from all different corners of the earth someday in heaven that say they came to know Jesus, because I was able to go and remind them God sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. So I'm all in. I love that. And I have that song, Standing in Miracles, Wherever You Go. I have seen that. I have seen that God is working around the world, even on the hardest grounds of suffering. He is there.
Amen. Amen. I love this too. You said, I do not want to just look at the promised land God has for me. I want to stand in it, dance in it, and bring glory to God as I walk in it. Amen. Amen. That is so good. Well, in the book, you tell a story about a mission trip to Haiti, and it was actually a dangerous time. This is so funny to me because you said in the book, I don't know what it is, but every time I make a plan to go on a trip, there's all of these warnings that, you know, that are associated with the trip, you know, like if there is a pandemic or there's something, some political unrest or whatever. But in this particular trip, you talked about going to I think it was a particular village in Haiti, but there was, it was a dangerous time, but you guys went anyway. Tell us what happened.
We did. I'll never forget those moments. We arrived in Haiti right as a major unrest. We were the last plane allowed in, and we ended up having to take shelter behind some walls of a guest house for a while, and felt very strongly that we needed to move past fear and take some steps of faith and go into a village and just remind this village that we had come to many times before. And so we did. We were able to go. We were only able to stay one day and love on the special needs adults that we take care of there, the kids that come, and the
widows. Okay, back up. I'm sorry. So when you got there, they were circling and they were not even taking you where you belonged, because they hauled you into like a guest place. And then there were some other women that were running in as well. So right, remember that first night before, and then you guys decided to make a break the next day to head to the village. So already I could feel myself going, oh my goodness. Do you remember what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes. These women came, they had actually been, we were escorted behind this guest house without really knowing what was happening. And these women came in a couple of hours later that were also Americans who had been attacked on the road because of the unrest, even having bricks thrown. One of them was bleeding, and it was very unsafe, the situation we were in. Right where we were, you could see tires burning in the protest, the ashes, the burning bits of tire coming as the anger and the situation continued to escalate. So it was definitely a time of fear.
Yeah. And so given that, then you decide, I think it was the next day, to make a break for the village. This is the stuff I probably wouldn't have done, that just because I bend towards self, you know, protection. So I'm amazed. But anyway, you decide to go and you were able to do some amazing ministry for a day. And then there was this all out kind of order of evacuation. Take it to that point. Yeah.
And then we were told we had to leave, and we were escorted out. We had to hire a SWAT team and an evacuation overnight. And I remember just really clinging again to Psalm 91 and to asking God to protect us through this crazy evacuation. But to me, it was worth it for that one day of ministry. And it reminded me of how Jesus came in such a way. He took on suffering for us because of his love for us. And so it was worth it to go and to love on those people in that village, even for one day.
And for some, maybe hear a story like that and they say, you know, I'm terrified of crossing the street to talk to my neighbor. And, you know, fear has been wielded as a weapon for the last 2.5 years in a way I've never seen in my lifetime. And so for a lot of people have different embedded fears, but those fears have been amplified because of the times we're in. But I know for a fact there are listeners here who love Jesus so much and they want to serve him well. And yet they deal with a lot of terror about the times we're in and even just where things can go. What do you say to them? Because they have sincere love for Jesus, but they are afraid and want to do that next right thing. And it might not be going to Ukraine or Haiti, but maybe it's crossing the street to talk to the neighbor.
It is a time where fear is in the atmosphere. It's almost like you can catch it if you just walk outside your house. And here is what I would say is just like, I think of Joshua, he's taking over from Moses in Joshua chapter 1. Can you imagine the fear of not being enough? Moses, who met God at a burning bush and just all the things that he had experienced taking the people into the promise, even though they didn't get to go in with him. And I love that God said to Joshua again and again in that first chapter, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. And that's the key. I do not believe God condemns us in our fear, but comes alongside of us and reminds us the key is he is with you. And as you're listening and you feel all this fear stirring, run to God with that fear, recognize the fear, run to God with that fear, and then release that fear to the one who says, I am with you.
I love this. You said God often gives us promises before his plan because he knows we may feel overwhelmed, confused, or frightened by his plan. And this is, again, I'll hear this often and I see it in my own life where he'll highlight a passage or a story and then you want to move on. And he's like, nope, come back to there. And you keep kind of rehearsing and kind of marinating in that space. And then and it kind of gets deep and it takes root. And then later on, you realize why you need that. Speak to just that way, God's nature of first revealing his promise before he reveals the purpose.
I love that his word is alive and active. Yeah. And so I love that. I remember just being shocked when the Lord kept speaking verses about fear to me when I'm like, Lord, I am saying yes to you to go anywhere. And I don't know why you are making these things so high. I don't think of myself as a fearful person. And I love how then God knew though exactly that last September I would be in that wreck and I would need these verses just as much as I was praying them for the future readers of my book. I needed them for what he had for me right then. And I love that God just, he says he goes before us and behind us and he's all around us. He hems us in Psalm 139. And so I love that he speaks in themes because he knows the themes we're going to walk through.
Boy, that's so good. You know, sometimes when you step out, it can be really exciting. You get a big vision for what God might do. And there you may be, your journey may be full of starts and stops, or you might start small and do some task that seems menial. And you're thinking, and not that we're above menial tasks, but you know how that is where someone's like, I had this idea. I had this sense of that God is going to do something. But he really, you're in that training time by walking through low doors of humility and small places of service. And all of that is purposeful to prepare us to serve the King well. But what do you say to that person who feels like, I'm sure I heard him, but this is not what I envisioned. And I'm feeling a little bit put aside.
I think of the disciples and how they must have felt that at times. They, you know, left everything to follow Jesus. And I love that it's real people that we're reading about in the Bible who are empowered by a real God. And so imagine what they're thinking about just their everyday yeses. And then all of a sudden God takes they're out feeding, they're in a multitude of people. And he's like, hey, we need to feed these people. I'm going to take your little and I'm going to do much. And I love that in God's hands, he takes our little and he does much. And then God's much is always more than we could envision, because in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, not only did he take their little and do much, but then he multiplied it. And there was leftovers. And so when you feel like you're in the mundane of the little every day, just packing your lunch and doing the mundane task of a Monday, that God is God on a mundane Monday. And then on a Friday when he's asking you to step into the big, and he's God in both the small and the big.
Amen. I'm going to wrap with this quote from your book. May you be encouraged that the wall knocking, food multiplying, paralytic and disease healing, giant slaying God is still working in the impossible today. Jen, thank you for being an obedient servant and going where Jesus sends you and doing it with such a beautiful joy. You're just a treasure. Thanks for the time today.
So much fun to be with you.
Good to be with you. Jennifer Hand is my guest. Her book, My Yes is on the Table, Moving from Fear to Faith. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. You just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.